God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today is based off of our epistle reading, and you got gypped a little bit this morning. We didn't print the last 10 verses of our reading, so let me pick up from verse 7 through 17. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. The reason why, because I had to read that little second part, was because we omitted, apparently, the last few verses of our text as it was printed. It was, however, read. We're focusing on outside the camp. It was a phrase used here, especially to describe Jesus. And there's a very interesting parallel that the author of the Hebrews wants us to know. The parallel goes like this. The Old Testament sacrifice for sin, especially that of atonement, was the whole scapegoat type concept. Two goats, one would bear the sin and have the sin placed upon it, and that goat would be driven from the camp, given to certain death. That goat wouldn't necessarily be eaten, but it was sacrificed to death, because anything outside the camp of the wilderness, so to speak, would naturally die. So needless to say, when Jesus was being crucified, and here's the parallel, yes, he was crucified in Jerusalem, but maybe we should better, to be more exact, say just outside of Jerusalem, outside the city. Outside the camp. This also brings one other unique parallel for the day. The atonement of sin, of course, being made for us on the cross of Jesus just outside of Jerusalem, calls us as Christians to a new life. It calls us to a life of following our Savior, taking up his cross and following him. And that new life looks like this. The first part of Hebrews 13 tells us, have brotherly love, show hospitality, remember those in prison, keep the marriage vows, keep yourself free from the love of money that consumes instead of gives. So the first few verses of this chapter shows us that Christian life, of how we're supposed to bear up that cross and follow Jesus. Verse 7 says, oh, by the way, remember your leaders. This is important because who taught you the faith? I know some of you are older than I am, but you're not that old that you were able to witness the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And since you're not that old, it had to be communicated to you. Who taught it to you? Who were those teachers? Who were the ones who gave of themselves to give to you to communicate this special atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon his cross? But we live in a world that very often does not hold very high regard for leaders and teachers. We see it in our school system. We see it in our government. But then how is information to be communicated? If the Christian faith needs to be communicated from one generation to the next, how is it to be communicated except through leaders? Those people who are mature in the faith, giving of themselves to other people. This is important, especially in the next few weeks. We will return back to our regular schedule, Bible class, Sunday school. An opportunity to grow and develop. And we're always looking for Sunday school teachers, and we're blessed this year that we have many Sunday school teachers who are willing to give of themselves to teach that next generation. But what about you? Are you willing to teach the next generation? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. If the word of God was communicated to you, why are you not willing to communicate it to others? We need to do a little bit more imitation. Or maybe it's because we still don't quite realize what it means for Jesus to be outside the camp. Maybe we just glossed over those words too quickly in our lives, in our own personal lives, and realizing that, yes, we do have a Savior who dies for your sin, who gives up his life for you. As Christians, I will admit, too often we hear these words, but do they really sink in? The author of the Hebrews had to remind his readers that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so we do not need to be led away by something new or something different. But we live in a world where it's the new and the different that attracts people's attention. It is something that's a little bit of sexy, so to speak, a little bit to grab your attention, to make its point. And Jesus, however, comes to us not as the in thing, but something despised, something outside the camp, something that we usually want to keep hidden. Because when we start talking about death, it's something gruesome. And so maybe the reason why we don't want to communicate that faith well is because maybe we're a little embarrassed. Today we also celebrate, as it is August 29th, 2010, the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist. Just quickly, let me try to bring this parallel in. You may remember St. John the Baptist was beheaded. Herod had him beheaded because Herod didn't like what he had to proclaim. St. John did a couple proclamations. One, repent. One, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What Herod really didn't like is when he accused Herod of taking his brother's wife. His brother's wife really took exception to it, and given the opportune time, made the request of John to be beheaded. So when Jesus comes on the scene and the people were being attracted to him, the guilt of Herod consumed him. And he says of Jesus, "This is John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead." Wow. Close, but no cigar. No, to Herod, this is not John raised from the dead. This is Jesus. If Herod would have paid attention to what John really said, repent, and here is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, maybe Herod would have truly understood who this Jesus is. No, Herod did not. Like many of us today, we don't want to see a God or a deity who dies. And by the way, what's the first three letters of deity? Interesting, but we want to be entertained. But we have to realize that if we are just to be entertained, what makes the church different than going to the movies or going to the club? The answer is the church is different because of the death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. It is Christ's atonement for our sin. So we need to get bloodied. We need to get talk about death. Just as John talks about the Christ being the Lamb of God, not just some cute little lamb, but the lamb who's going to be sacrificed, who's going to spill his blood, have his life consumed for us, the atoning sacrifice. Just like the goat being driven from the camp has a certainty of death, so does our Savior outside of Jerusalem is crucified. But as Christians, we don't just go walking around in life wearing sackcloth and ashes, constantly remembering the death of our Savior. Yes, he brings life, and he brings life eternal. But our Savior then does something else. As we go outside the camp to meet him in word and sacrament, as our Savior comes to us with his own body and blood through that bread and wine, he then in turn sends us. At the end of our divine service, he sends us out back to the camp, so to speak. Back to the camp where we show hospitality to strangers, where we visit those in prison, where we care for the sick, the poor, the widowed, the orphaned. We remember our families. We remember our leaders and have respect for them. This isn't always easy. It comes. Our strength comes from the death of this lamb. The goat being driven from the camp. It comes from outside the camp. From the cross, from our Savior, who gives of himself for you and me. So today, as we celebrate a little bit of the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist, as we remember the words of the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, about how we have a Savior who is outside the camp, forgiving us our sins, we ask the Lord to continue to send us his Holy Spirit to strengthen us, so that we may show that same love that he has for us to the rest of the world. Because God does call us outside the camp, like we are here today, outside your homes, hearing God's word, receiving that sacrament, and then he sends us back, forth, from where we came, to share that love, that peace, that forgiveness with those in need. Yes, we have a Savior who doesn't come for entertainment, but comes for atonement. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.